off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bright touchdown, FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world. The Philadelphia Eagles
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, coming to you live from New York City, joined, as always, by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, brother?
What is going on, man? How you doing?
Good. Freshly shaved. If anybody saw the content, that is, and then one of the shows got canceled.
Certainly freshly shaved.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all that's going on with me. What's up with you, man?
Not much. Not much really. Just
okay.
Sorry, been locked in the house for the past couple of days, just watching The Pit.
The Pit, yeah, you mentioned this. Is this any good?
Just what? Just phenomenal.
Did you watch Adolescence?
TV is back, baby. I watched Adolescence. You don't want to get me started on Adolescence. We should have talked about that in the pre-show.
We were going to talk about it last week, and then I was like, oh, I want to watch it. And then Tracy brought it up tonight. She was like, some of my friends are telling me we should watch the show. Have you heard of it?
Okay,
and I was like,
I've
heard a lot about it, so we need to watch it. All right. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. If this is your first time joining us, we are going to be talking about all the major things happening in the major sports. Today, we have the NBA on tap, and then we're also going to talk about, obviously, the Final Fours in men's college basketball, and then we'll talk about the women's championship, which, thank God I'm not a betting man, because I would have lost a lot of money on it. And then we'll get into the quick hits. We will talk about the NHL, Major League Baseball. And then we have a big Fulham soccer corner this week. Huge. Huge. It is. We're going to get into it. It's, you know, taking down champs is what I'm talking about. And then we'll go to the press conference where we will peddle our wares. But we're going to start this week the same way we do every week. Joe.
Sorry.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
All right, here we go. We're talking NBA recap of the April 6th week in the National Basketball Association. A couple of things have happened since the last time we talked. Joe and I have been going back and forth about what's going to happen in the West. We still don't know. That's not locked in yet. But what is locked in is all of the playoff seeding in the East, because the teams that are tanking are full boat tanking. So we kind of already know, not kind of, we do know everything's locked in. So, Joe, what is your takeaway with the standings as they are today in the East? Cleveland taking that number one seed. Boston's at 2. Knicks are at 3. Pacers are at 4. Bucks are at 5. Pistons at 6. Avoided the play-in. And then we have Magic, Hawks, Bulls, and Heat rounding out the 10 teams.
I find it very interesting that the Pistons could take over the 5 still. There's a little wiggle. They're only a game back of the Bucks. The Bucks have ripped off a 4-game win streak. Giannis has gone nuclear in this time period since Dame went down. So they're holding them off, holding them at bay currently, but the Pistons still could overtake that. But I'm more interested in the play-in situation because, you know, now we don't know who our last two teams in the postseason is going to be. And we have the Magic, who, you know, have had ebbs and flows this
season, more ebbs,
to say the least. The Hawks, who looked at one point like they had turned a corner, then suffered a major injury with, I think it's Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
Is his name? Yeah. Okay. He was on my fantasy team, and it's been so long since he's been gone now that I can't even remember his name, sadly. But,
yeah, they have Jalen Johnson out, Toppin's out, Nance is out, Capella's out.
It was Jalen Johnson. Thank you.
It was Jay Johnson. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, I knew it was Jay Johnson. Then you got the Bulls, who went on a heater. They were beating some good teams.
Their team was gutted.
Yeah. They took 2 games off the Lakers, took a game off the Nuggets. That kind of sparked a, you know, some belief in them there. And then you had the Heat, who went on an 11-game losing streak, beat the Warriors, ripped off a 6-game winning streak, but have now lost 2 of their own. They're at the bottom of this. I'll throw it back at you. Who do you think will be the two teams to come out of this foursome?
So I think out of this foursome, and this might be my hoberism, but I think Orlando Magic, just because when you're the seventh seed in the play-in, you have the odds are so much better because you just have to win one of the two games. And they're still, I know their offense is abysmal, but they've been playing defense. Like, they held the Clippers to under 100 points. And yeah. The Clippers have been, like, dusting people lately. And they held them to 91 points a couple games ago. So I definitely think the Magic have the defense to make it out of this. The obvious choice is the Hawks, just again, because they're in that better seating position. But because of their injuries, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's going to be the Bulls, because Giddey and who's the young guy there?
Kobe White.
Kobe White. I wanted to say Cade, but I knew that wasn't right. I think it's Giddey and Kobe White have been on a heater. Kobe White was drafted 3 years ago, I want to say. It's 22.
I can't remember if he was a freshman when he got drafted or he was one of these North Carolina guys that had been around for like eight years or something.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of those. Kobe White, 25.
25. Okay, yeah. So maybe he did have a few extra years. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. 2019. God, I feel like this kid was just drafted like 2 years ago. That was 6 years ago, Brennan. You idiot. But yeah, so they're playing well. And I mean, a lot of people say, you know, players don't hit their prime until about 7 to 8 years into the NBA just because of, you know, they're coming in at 18, 19 years old. So I think it's going to be the Magic and I think it's going to be the Bulls. I don't think the Hawks can recover from the injury situation. And I honestly think the Heat are so volatile that who knows, maybe they win one, but I don't think they have the horses to do it.
He was one and done at North Carolina. So
yeah,
but, no, I 100% concur. I think the Magic and the Bulls are going to be the two teams to make it out. I don't think the Heat have enough in the reserve to make it through two games on the road, potentially, how they're positioned right now, with how we've seen kind of their complete, you know, fall off since the Jimmy Butler trade. And then the Hawks, I think the injuries have just stacked up too much. I don't think Trae Young... I don't think he's that transcendent of a player to kind of just put a team on his back. He did it once, with a lot of guys around him, but I don't know if he'll be able to do that again. Not this late into his career, he's not that old, but with this team constructed around him, with the guys he's missing, I think the Magic, like you said, the defense is there, stifling defense. They need to get their shooting up. They can find themselves losing a game or two if they just can't hit the side. Bright side of a barn?
The broad side of a barn.
Broad side of a barn. But I think Chicago, for me, is the team I feel the most confident in getting out of this. They have shown that they can keep up with some of the best teams in the NBA. So
Josh Giddey was a throwaway from the OKC, and now he's making big plays.
I'm shocked he's still in the league.
who are you telling?
But there's other unsavory players in the league, so I can't say anything.
The groomer himself out here making plays.
But yeah, so I think that's probably the team that... No. I think that's a team that's definitely going to make it out. I foresee. And then the Magic right behind them. The Cavs still, I just do want to point out, the Cavs, I think are there four games left? Or are there five games left?
Let me pull it up. Four.
Okay, so they're... highly unlikely the Cavs will lose.
The Cavs
all four
still have
of their
Chicago,
next games.
Indiana, New York. In Boston, Chicago, Indiana, New York, and Indiana. These are all playoff teams.
But they're the number one seed for a reason.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
And I find it unlikely they'll lose all four games and Boston wins all four games.
I'm sorry. I should have seen where you're going with that. We've done this long enough. I agree with that.
I think the Cavs wrap up the number one seed in the East fairly shortly.
So if it does play out that way, it'll be Cleveland against Chicago and then Boston against the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Or does the seeding change after the play-in?
No, seeding doesn't change.
Okay, so if the Orlando Magic make it into the playoffs,
they're automatically seven. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they split the series with Boston this year, but I don't know who played in what games and everything like that. I honestly think the Cleveland thing, I think Cleveland will be fine, but Boston, if they don't have everybody healthy, that defense could lock them down. If the Magic could find something, whew, that could be a six-game series.
I don't know. I was about to say, the way Boston has been able to shoot and their willingness to just,
you know, when I talked to Maz about this, he was just like, we're shooters, got to shoot. Who? Joe Maz.
So who?
The coach.
Oh, when did you talk to the coach?
Remember when the coach?
I don't think that's canon on the show. I think you already mentioned that. Like to
you? Yeah, you can check it out on my Patreon, patreon.com/BrennanTassif, Tales from the Restaurant. Joe Mazzulla came into the restaurant. We chit-chatted. You know?
Okay.
Really, I just said I was a big fan, and then he came up and gave me a handshake after and said thanks for the support. But, you know, spoiler alert. In my mind, we talked
that
basketball.
The next episode? Did I miss one of
those? No, it hasn't come out yet. Dude, okay, I was like, I don't think 19 episodes I still have to get to. And then I waited on Jennifer Lawrence came in again, and I was the one who actually waited on them this time instead of bringing them their drink. Last time she came in, I just like shoved people out of the way. I was like, let me bring the cocktails since I wasn't waiting on her. But this time I actually waited on her. Jennifer Lawrence. I don't want to spoil the Tales from the Restaurant because that's on Patreon, but very sweet lady.
Oh, okay. Very I thought sweet it was lady. Be very not nice.
No, super sweet. Her friends.
Is she married now?
She's married to like an art guy, gallery guy. He's not an artist. He's basically a dude who sells art.
Okay.
And so his friends and like the friends in that circle, real dickheads. But she, super sweet.
Okay.
I really wanted to be like Silver Linings Playbook is like my Goodfellas because I have a lot of mental illness. But anyway, we digress. Going to the West where things are all in flux. Speaking of
you could have said because I'm married to an Eagles fan at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Totally in flux in the West. The only things that we have, who would have thunk it if at the beginning of the season I said the only two facts about the West is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Nobody would have thought. They would have been like, oh, are the Houston Rockets tanking? No, they're the two seed. Those are the only two solidified, like clenched spots. Everything else is in flux. From three, we've got the Lakers. Then 3 to 10, it's the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Warriors. Then in the play-in, it's the Timberwolves, the Grizz, the Kings, and the Mavericks. Now, last week, we had talked about it. I said I see the Mavericks making it into the playoffs. And at the time, the Timberwolves, I don't think they were in the play-in position.
Did we them making the playoffs or just the play-in?
Play-in last week, if I remember correctly, was the Trailblazers.
Trailblazers were not in the play-in.
Excuse me, the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks, the Grizzly, and then one of these teams was on the outside looking in. But
I think
since
the Mavs were on the outside looking
in. That could be possible.
Because we talked
about who was going to make the swing, and I said the Mavericks. But yeah, bless you. The Timberwolves falling to the play-in is kind of shocking because they actually have been playing pretty good basketball lately.
I'll say the Clippers just went on a heater and have jumped everybody.
Yeah, that's what happened. The Clippers just started dominating teams. So we're all in flux. All these games are separated. I mean, Oklahoma City Thunder's like 12 games up on the next closest team. But from four to nine, it's all separated. 4 to 8, it's separated by two games. So like the Memphis
Grizzlies.
4 to 8
Grizzlies, separated by a half game.
Yeah. 17.5 games back for the Nuggets, and then everyone else is at 18.
18, so half a game. Nuggets need to get in high gear before they fucking fuck up. I think they took another L today. No, I don't know what happened to that Pacers game today. Is it still going? Nope, loss. Lost by five.
Loss. Another loss. Oh, this is not good, man. Four in a row?
Yeah. Jamal's been MIA. He's suffered an injury. I don't even remember when, but he hasn't been playing lately.
That was the one thing we were worried about. Hamstring still rolled out.
The West is, you know, as interesting as the West always is really around this time. There's
what do you got? What do you got going in with the plan?
Who do I got in the plan?
Or who do you got in the playoffs from the plan?
Oh, okay. So who? Let me. I'll do you one better. Who's not making it? The Kings and the Mavs aren't making it.
Okay,
I can just give you that now.
Yeah.
I don't think the Kings got it. I don't think the Mavs got it.
I think the Grizzlies are going to get swept. Also, once we get into the actual playoffs. We talked about this last week. Really? The firing of the coach and all that turmoil that's going on.
No doubt. But. I don't.
Am I boring you with my West talk?
Sorry, it's late. It's late. I watched two movies today, two episodes of The Pit today. It's been a long day.
Been a long day.
Been a long day. Watched Fulham get a dub. You know,
we're gonna talk about a huge dub.
Oh yeah, gotta talk about it. The thing about Memphis and OKC, if they face off as a 1-8. OKC is kind of just new Memphis. I was having this thought the other day.
Yeah.
They're just new Memphis in a way. Like, you got a dominant guard. You got, you know, your arrangement of bigs. And then you got a bunch of, like, guys, you know, from 2 to 3, in the 2 to 3 positions, you know, that kind of litter the bench that, you know, switch off on. D and 3 and D guys, you know, can penetrate. But yeah, they're kind of just new Memphis. Like when Memphis, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, where they were like the number 1 seed, 2 seed, where like Memphis was really, Ja was kind of stepping into his zone. So I think they match up better than, at least man for man, they kind of match up pretty well with the Thunder.
This is a medical drama?
Yeah, it's a medical drama. It's phenomenal.
I did not see this coming.
Brother, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I avoid these shows like the plague. No
problem. Oh, wow. You know what? They might get swept. OKC swept them in the regular season series as well.
Yeah, so. I think OKC is just the better team. And I understand what you're saying, but it's... The Grizzlies just are in too much flux. The thing I'm more interested in, if we can be honest with each other, the thing I am much more interested in is
did
the Houston
y'all play
Rockets.
Did y'all play any of these games is a good question.
The Houston Rockets Timberwolves situation, because the Rockets are young, super
Rockets
young. But Ime Udoka is one of the best coaches we've seen in the NBA since the introduction of Eric Spoelstra in Miami. He has turned around two franchises now. Well, and I don't care what anybody says. The Celtics
around.
Were decent, but he... The Celtics limped into the playoffs. They limped into those conference championships.
What are we talking about? Those like five before him, they limped into each one of those.
Everyone talks about how the East is much weaker than the West.
Come on. Celtics have been knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door for quite some time now.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Okay, so, yeah. It looks like Ja might have played in only one of these matchups.
Yeah, Ja's been in and out of the lineup like crazy. Exactly. That's been one of the big knocks against him this season. But we'll see what's going to happen. Speaking of the West and everything that's going on.
These matchups, it looks like.
The Thunder, this powerhouse that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, got boat raced by your Los Angeles Lakers, Joe. Your favorite team.
My least favorite team.
I know. That's why I said that.
Team I hate the most.
126-99. Couldn't even break triple digits. What does this tell us? More about the Thunder or more about the Lakers?
I think this tells us more about the Lakers. I don't think this tells us. Actually, I'm wrong. I think this tells us more about the Thunder. What I was going to say about the Lakers, I think, is something we already knew coming off of the Luka trade when they kind of went on that run of games they ripped off where it's, when dedicated, when concentrated, they can, for a game at the very least, they can defend you, lights out, and they have ball movement. And, you know, they have enough guys who are professional basketball players and will do their job. And LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and Austin Reeves can give you, you know, a boost every now and again. But we already knew that. What I've been asking myself for the duration of the season, for the last two seasons, which is one of the reasons I thought that the Mavs would beat them in the postseason last year, is do they have anybody outside of SGA that can, in a pinch, create their own shot.
You've been talking about this all season, too.
That is the one thing I need to know. That's the one thing they need to prove to me. And if Jalen Williams, who I've been hearing everybody say is their second guy as far as a ball handler that can get his own shot.
Second creator, yeah.
Goes 4 for 14, sir, you cannot create your own shot. All right? And if you, maybe you're creating it, but you ain't hitting it. Yeah, all right?
Those are so Jamal Murray numbers, man. You can't do that.
If that's what you're relying on, wait a second. What just happened there? Just happened there.
Sorry, you teed it up. I had to take it.
You took an arrow.
I'm sorry. I didn't
mean
it.
It's a red
arrow. It's just funny.
Happened there. But yeah, so I'm still interested to see how they're going to, you know, match up with some teams in the postseason. I think there are teams that some of these more veteran teams, veteran-laden teams, will still give them issues. I think they have to prove themselves more than anything.
100%.
I'm not going to believe it until they prove it. You know, it's cute. You know, everything you've done, the regular season. The regular season has been diminished to some degree. And it usually takes like one of these younger teams like Memphis a couple years ago that are like, you know, giving it their all. And then you have your savvy vets that are like, you know, throttle it here and there. And yeah. Then when we get to the
pump the brakes, figure it out. Yeah.
When we get to the big boy show, you know, then we will give you max night in, night out. And yeah, and it also, you know, the level of coaching is going to become more 100%. And more apparent.
Plus, in a series, you have time, and we've talked about this before. This is, why some of the older veteran teams are able to make the moves that they can make is because when you have a series, a lot of times these guys figure it out. Like, we say it all the time, especially when it comes to the Joker, Big Honey. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, he might lose a game, but it's like, if you give him a whole series, he's going to figure it out.
He's going to figure something out. Something will be discovered. Something is going to be learned, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
And I do want to throw this out there for all the listeners. I've known Joe for many, many years now. It's one of my favorite things while he's in the middle of making a point to throw in a little dart because it takes him a second. Like anybody, it takes him a second to process it. So he'll go like one or two more sentences and then go, wait, what?
What did I say? What did I do?
When I did the Jamal Murray thing, two lines and you were like, wait, what the hell was that?
Took me a beat. I was like, what just happened?
It's like one of my favorite things to do.
It was so unnecessary.
Speaking of Hall of Fame level digs, let's talk about the Hall of Fame class 2025.
Give yourself a lot of credit there. I don't know if that was a Hall of Fame level
dig. I know. I was just trying to make a transition. Carmelo?
The Hall of Fame class of 2025 has been announced. Yep. Brandon just revealed probably the headliner of this class, Carmelo Anthony.
Dwight Howard. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait a second. Carmelo Anthony, my favorite player growing up. The guy I played my game after. That is why I'm a Nuggets fan. He got drafted there out of Syracuse, and I said, I'm going to follow
overall.
Him. And then he decided to leave, and I said, you know what? I'm going to park my bench here, buddy. I'm not going to the fucking Knicks. All right. There's one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to the Knicks.
Some of the other headliners, Billy Donovan, who won those back-to-back championships at the University of Florida, Sue Bird, obviously, and Maya Moore, who are legends in the WNBA game. I didn't realize they did whole teams. They're doing the whole 2008 U.S.
They do sometimes. And I don't like it. Sylvia Fowles, also from the WNBA. She retired the same year as Sue Bird. Shout out to her. Mickey Arison. As a contributor to the game, the owner of the Miami
huge
Heat.
Huge shout out.
7 finals appearances, 3 NBA championships. You also have Dwight Howard, as Brennan noted. Danny Crawford. That's not the referee that gave... Is that the referee that gave Tim Duncan the T? Am I tripping?
He's the black guy.
Danny Crawford's the black guy?
Yeah.
I don't think Danny Crawford's a black guy. If he is, I'm so
I just
off.
Clicked on the link. And,
yep, he is definitely the black guy. So yeah. That is not who I'm thinking. Who am I thinking
No,
of?
I know who you're thinking of. I can't remember his name.
Joey Crawford. That's what
Joey
it is.
Crawford.
I was like, what am I thinking? This is the guy. And yes, you didn't actually say the team, but the 2008 USA men's Olympic men's basketball team, the redeemed team, that is. So
there is no public record of NBA referee Danny Crawford ever issuing a technical foul to Tim Duncan.
It's Joey that I was thinking.
No, I know. I just,
oh, okay. It's Joey. You were just cleaning it up.
Typed it into ChatGPT, so I had to read it.
Yeah, so this means Kobe gets a second induction, effectively. LeBron is now in the Hall of Fame while still playing. Coach K gets to be in for a second time. Melo is getting in twice right now, and so is Dwight. They're both getting in twice in one ceremony. Very interesting.
So wait, do they induct like everyone separately from the team?
No. The team gets enshrined, but therefore every member of the team is effectively now a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
in
okay.
A weird, you know.
Totally disagree way. With that, but
okay. I don't like it. I think it's, there's so many things about the NBA. Sorry, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. There's so many things about the Basketball Hall of Fame that I find a little silly. Like,
wasn't it like a whole thing? If you score over 10,000 points, you're automatically pretty much a bid to make it.
I don't know, but there's probably statistics to prove that anybody who's done it is probably in.
It's like 10,000 points or 12,000 points. It's something that's not. I mean, it's a very difficult task, but
that can't be right. I don't know if that's right.
Well, because I hear sometimes people on the different podcasts and stuff we listen to, they'll be like, well, yeah, the so-and-so player, I wouldn't consider a Hall of Famer, but he scored this many points, so of course he's going to get in.
I don't think 10,000 has to be the 20,000 might be a better
maybe
number.
Maybe that's the number.
I would say 10,000 is.
I'm just throwing out accusations. I think it's
there's mad, like, decent guys that have gotten 10,000.
That's true. That's true. I think it's time to get to everyone's favorite game, though. Speaking of basketball.
Hold on. Now I got to go look at the fucking scoring list.
Okay. Well, before we play the sounder and Joe gets into it, a couple of things I want to touch on because I did watch some of these games at work because it wasn't super busy at the time. So we had them on the TV. We're talking Final Four with men's college basketball. It was the Auburn Tigers going against the Florida Gators. The Gators win. And then it was the Duke Blue Devils losing to Houston on a last second buzzer beater by Cooper Flagg that did not go in. Houston went on an 11-1 run, 15-3 run to end that game and wins the game. Go Cougs.
You want to hear some names of people that have over 10,000?
Yeah.
Josh Smith.
Love Josh Smith.
Josh Smith is at 12,000.
Atlanta Hawks Josh Smith?
Atlanta Hawks Josh Smith. Meta World Peace, 13,000.
Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Corey Maggette, 13,000.
Don't even know who that is.
Vlade Divac.
Hall of Famer.
Zach LaVine is at 13,000.
You're proving my point. Hall of Famer.
Eric Gordon is at 14,000.
Eric Gordon out of Ohio State, Eric Gordon?
Iowa State. No, Iowa. State. No, Iowa? Indiana. Indiana.
Who was the guy who came out of Ohio State, Gordon?
Gordon?
I might be losing my mind. I'm sorry.
It might be a Gordon. I feel like there's a Gordon. Jeff Green, 14,000.
Hall of Famer. I will bet you a steak dinner right here, right now, that Jeff Green makes the Hall
Jeff
of Fame.
Jeff Green is not making the goddamn Hall of Fame.
You make the bet.
Okay, make the bet. Jeff Green is not making the Hall of Fame.
We're going to figure this out when he retires. How many years do they have to wait till after they retire?
I don't know, because Carmelo was just here a second ago.
Dwight was like shopping around for teams last year or the year before.
I was like, wait a second. Wasn't Carmelo? Richard Jefferson is at 14,900.
Richard Jefferson will make the Hall of Fame. If you say a name and I know from like the play, I know them from like the playoffs and stuff, I automatically assume they're a Hall of Famer.
Richard Jefferson, not making the Hall of Fame. Antoine Walker is at 15,000.
Oh, Rip because of the Hamilton. Basketball Hall of Fame, maybe it has nothing. Rip Hamilton is a Hall of Famer. Rip Hamilton is a fantastic player. Rip Hamilton won two titles.
Two titles?
With Detroit. He was on those Detroit title teams.
Am I misremember? I thought they won one. I think they won
okay.
one.
Okay. Maybe they won one, but they went to two.
They got to two. They won one. They beat the Lakers, lost to the Spurs. Rip Hamilton's not getting into the Hall of Fame.
Two full seasons. Rip Hamilton will. Oh yeah, I guess he's been retired for more than two seasons.
Rick Hamilton ain't getting into the Hall of Fame, but so you got to be away for two seasons. Yeah. Andre Miller has 16,000.
Okay, all right. You made your point. Let's talk about the women and all the money I would have lost because UConn dusted South Carolina.
I need one more good name. Rudy Gay, who just recently retired. Rudy Gay has 17,000. I don't think he's getting it. I don't think he's getting it. Sean Marion has more points than him, and he ain't got it.
No, yeah, Sean Marion's not getting it.
So if he ain't getting in, he definitely ain't getting it.
Can we talk about the women's? Please. Can you stop
Jason
being such
Terry
a,
got 18 and he ain't getting
and Jason Terry's right. got a ring too. Jason Terry won Terry that. Jason Terry won. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? We already kind of covered the highlights, but Joe, take us through college basketball.
Yeah, Brennan decided to usurp me and just go ahead and just rattle off the men's.
Well, I figured we'd focus more on the women's since it's your game.
So the women's bracket.
Busted,
unfortunately. So we had came down to, last we talked, the UConn Huskies were going to face off against USC. They eventually beat them, and Texas was getting ready to face off with TCU. Texas beat them, which set up a 1-1-1-2 scenario. UCLA playing UConn, UConn being the 2 seed. South Carolina playing Texas, 2-1 seeds. South Carolina beat Texas as they did in the SEC championship, was it a championship or tournament? I can't remember. But they moved on, and then Paige Beckers and really AZ Fudd went off in the game against UCLA. And AZ had what I want to say like she had 19 in the game total, Paige had 16. Sarah Strong, who is a freshman, had 22 and 8. She really made a name for herself in this tournament run. So that set up UConn versus South Carolina, a rematch of the 2022 championship game, title game that Aaliyah Boston played in. Aaliyah Boston helped South Carolina win that game, denying Paige Beckers potential.
One of my favorite fantasy players when I played WNBA fantasy.
Denying Paige Becker what would have been one of her opportunities at getting it. Paige Beckers, you know, she's dealt with injuries. She's stayed longer than many people thought she would at this point. And she was doing it pretty much to try to capture that title. She would have gone down as one of the best UConn players to not capture a title. And boy, did she capture that title. A dominant performance from UConn today. Just clinical offensively, defensively, getting the loose balls. They were down in the offensive rebound early in this game. South Carolina were getting a lot of them, and then they closed the gap in that second half of the game. I think at one point South Carolina had 10 and UConn had like 3, and the game ended with UConn getting 14 and South Carolina getting 17. So narrowed that margin, dominated them on the boards entirely, 40-36.
This final score is obscene.
It's crazy. I was about to say their best players,
59-82.
Their best players just put the team on their back. Like if you look at the box score, you had 24 and 15 from Sarah Strong. Again, a freshman. She also had 3 blocks and 2 steals and 5 dimes. An insane game.
It's interesting the way the sports work, and this is one of the things we love about it. UConn was the dominant team. Remember, they had like 2 undefeated seasons back to back, or something like that.
Yeah, they and won then, like what 100 some games.
Yeah,
win streak.
And then, what was it? 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, South Carolina kind of started making more and more noise, and then
a little further back,
5.
I want to say 19.
Notre Dame had a cup of coffee when they were like making crazy plays and stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like, for me, the layman who's not as locked in as you are, it's almost like I forgot about UConn because they haven't been, you know.
It's been 9 years. It's been nine years.
It's been Iowa. It's been Notre Dame. It's been South Carolina. It's been LSU. And all of a sudden, I was like, Oh yeah, UConn has a dominant coach and like a dominant team.
Well, it's mainly because Paige Becker, like I said, Paige Becker was a part of the 2020 class. And it's funny, I saw a stat earlier. 4 out of the 5 top recruits from that class all have now won a championship. The only one not winning a championship was Caitlin Clark, who got there twice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was Paige, it was Angel, it was Camilla Cardosa, and it was Cameron Brink. Everybody is in the league except Paige, because
she wanted to stay. Yeah,
not just that she wanted to stay, was she also suffered like 2 seasons in a row for her, got upended by injury.
Yeah,
so she had extra, you know, medical redshirt time as well. And she was already gonna get, like, if she wanted a 6
she could have COVID year. Grad year. Yeah,
yeah, not a regular, like the COVID grad year, basically. So yeah, she stayed, and because she had those injuries, UConn, she was supposed to be that marquee player for them. She was, you know, on the path to being Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark. Like when she was coming out, she was the marquee name of that class. She was the one everybody knew. She was the one that I think it was either her freshman year or her sophomore year, she won like Collegiate Player of the Year at the ESPYs, and she gave that, you know, brilliant speech and everything, and, you know, all eyes were on her. And then she followed up that season with an injury, followed up that season with another injury, and UConn was relying on AZ Fudd, and then AZ Fudd had a couple of injuries, and it was like, man, are they ever going to get right? Yeah, are they ever going to get it right? And it was funny, as the game, I think like midway through the third quarter, I called my brother. And I was like, hey, remember at the start of the season, we were talking about like Notre Dame and South Carolina and Juju. And then you're like, man, who does UConn have? And I was like, well, UConn, big issue right now is, you know, nobody's been healthy for a couple of seasons. And I was like, AZ Fudd signed to like Steph Curry when she was like a freshman. And she has just had season after season also marred by injury as well. So I was like, she's coming back from injury, and if they both can stay healthy, like, this is a team that can win it. And at that point, AZ had like 20 points through 3 quarters. And I was like, yeah, she's kind of going off right now. And she's already said she's coming back. So yeah, she had 24. Paige had 17. Their big three combined for, what, 48 plus 17 is... 65. So look at that quick math, baby. Public education. Dirt off my shoulder.
Shouts out.
In
the building.
And South Carolina, to the defensive point, South Carolina had only 2 players that made it to double digits, and those were 10 off the bench and 10 off the bench. No one in their starting lineup got over 10 points. You're not going to get anything. Not going to get anything like that. So in the big moments, the big players stepped up. Their UConn's big three showed up and showed out and captured the 12th championship for Gino Auriemma and that program. First after 9 years. When I was in high school, you could just write in UConn for like
that's what I was talking
6, 7, 8 years. Like when Breonna Stewart was there, she won every single year. Stewie won 4 straight. So for there to be this lull of a 9-year period where UConn didn't win it, man.
And for them to stick with Gino Auriemma through all that.
And for Gino to stick with them, because there were, I mean, 100%. I think it was last year or 2 years ago, like the last couple of years, Gino, in press conferences, it sounded like he was ready to move on. Maybe he was going to retire. When Tara Vanderveer announced her retirement, people were like, ooh, is Gino going to follow her as well? So, yeah. And he said it himself. He was like, you know, it makes it sweeter, me sticking it out, because there were times where I did want to, you know, leave, because I didn't know if I was the right voice in the room anymore. So...
winning it. And all right.
I found out today.
What?
Gino's a Philly guy. So I had two Philly coaches. I didn't learn until after the game. Cause I was rooting for South Carolina because Dawn is a Philly girl, you know? Yeah. She's a big Eagle fan. And then I saw a picture of Geno in a Kelly Green Saquon jersey. And I was like, wait, what? I went to the wiki and his family emigrated from Italy. They went to Pennsylvania, like somewhere outside of Philly. And he's been a Philly guy. I was like, who would have thought? So, I'm good either way.
There we go.
I'm happier winning. Now. I'm happy.
Philly people winning. Don, also very sweet. She'll come up on Tales from the Restaurant. Moving on, Quick Hits.
Oh, that's one.
I told you about that last year when they came in after the MSG.
Oh,
run.
You did. Yeah. Oh, I didn't bump
you
up.
You turned it down for the. Yeah.
Sorry.
Take two.
And these supplies that quick.
Hit it twice.
Take three.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it hits.
Quick hit.
Here we go. We're talking NHL. Joe, what do you got for us on the NHL coming up?
Ovi finally breaks the record. Yeah. 895 goal. He now is the sole leader of the most goals in NHL history. Passing Wayne Gretzky, who was seen with Cash Patel.
Really?
Who was seen with Cash Patel. If you don't know, now you know. Brennan, the Catlantic has been declawed, some would say. The Maple Leafs sitting at number one with a four-game winning streak. The Tampa Bay Lightning are at number two in the Catlantic. And the Florida Panthers are riding a five-game losing streak. In our third
that hurts.
In the Atlantic. You know, Brennan, you know what it'd really help if like one of their best players was playing, but you know, it was so important that everybody gave it their all during the fucking All-Star break and upended.
Out for the season.
For the regular season. He can come back in the playoffs, but you know, just saying. Yeah, it was so important to give it your all for a created exhibition tournament.
Yeah, but now that money
season.
Came off the cap, so you guys were able to trade for what's his face.
I know, but still, I can be pissed. All right.
Yeah, no, that's
the
true.
The fuck are you getting hurt in the middle of an exhibition for?
Like, if Kucherov taught us anything, this is going to help you guys.
I was about to say right now, Bayern Munich, soccer club in Germany, are trying to sue Canada. Because one of their players plays for the Canadian national team. And during the, I think it was the Nations tournament or some, the CONCACAF
Nations or whatever.
Yeah, CONCACAF Nations. Alphonse Davies, they played him and he suffered an injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the club season. And it's like, why did you play? Like he was not in shape to play. You're automatically qualifying for the World Cup because the US, Canada, and Mexico are hosting it. Like you didn't confer with us. So it's like don't get hurt while like you're not getting paid by Canada. You're getting paid some, but you're not getting paid your max salary.
You're not getting paid,
like, you're getting fucked. You're fucking us right now.
Yeah.
So all right, to move on. In the Metropolitan, the Capitals are number one still. The Carolina Hurricane, number two. The New Jersey Devils are number three in the Metro. In the wild card, you got the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens. You got the Rangers still in contention. Red Wings still in contention. Islanders, Blue Jackets, and Sabres all have not been mathematically eliminated as of yet. In the West, in the Central, you got the Winnipeg Jets, who are only 6-4 in their last 10. They were in the 100s while last week they were in the 100s before Washington, and now Washington's only 1 point off of them. So that's interesting. They've had a little bit of stagnation. The Stars right behind them, keeping them honest with 105. And then you got the Avs with 98 points. That's to round up the Central. Then in the Pacific, you got the Golden Knights with 100. You got the Kings with 97. And you got the Edmonton Oilers with 93. I believe Leon Draisaitl suffered an injury and will be down for some time, if I'm not mistaken. Let me get that injury report for you, folks, because I know y'all don't hear it if less I tell you. Leon Draisaitl out. Just out. We don't have timetables.
Yeah, you know in hockey they never do any of
just that 2 days ago, out. That's all we got.
And it's always like lower body, somewhere below his waist.
Ridiculous. And then the wild card, you got the St. Louis Blues. You got the Wild being tailed by the Calgary Flame, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Utah Hockey Club. Everybody else in the West has been mathematically eliminated.
Boom. Moving on. Major League Baseball.
Baseball. Brennan, I only got one thing I want to talk about. The Pirates. Okay, good job by the Pirates. How do you feel about the Torpedo Bats?
I don't know. Something that's live and in person.
Really came up over the past.
Yeah, week. I guess they got the Yankees got a physicist in there to figure out how to make the sweet spot bigger on the bat. Listen, if it's still within regulation play, I'm fine with it. Just like I'm fine with the tush push. Figure out how to stop it. Like, if this is within the rules, it's within the rules.
I wasn't
get a quarterback
get
that squats. Like,
not even gonna get into it. Not even gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
It's not an unfair advantage if it's in the rules. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's in the rules. Also, it gives you more offense because you keep the chains moving. It's a special teams play. It's the same way a punt is. The same way a field goal is. You bring
no one
specialty
said because of Devin Hester, we have to take away the punt return.
Like, what are we doing? Like, it's silly. Yeah. It's silly. But yeah, I like the Torpedo Bats, honestly. If we're going to add more offense to the game, the only thing that I think it wrecks is I don't know if we're from like today on, any kid that gets brought up to the majors in like 2023, 2024, 2025. I don't know if a pitcher is ever going to make the Hall of Fame unless like the criteria changes, because you're never going to have 300 wins anymore because of how few innings guys are pitching.
The structure,
Let's say with the bullpen and everything, you're not going to have guys with low ERAs and fucking Torpedo Bats are here and people are just going to be mashing all over the yard. You're not going to have guys with huge strikeout. Actually, strikeout numbers might surge because everybody's
might
striking out.
Yeah.
But there's just so many things that the pitchers are, and everybody's in on it. Like, the fans are in on it. Everybody's here for the pitchers having less of an advantage because you want to see more gameplay.
To that point,
it'll make the cream
like
of the crop. I was about to say, it'll make the cream of the crop rise, but there's certain markers just like you have to, like, I think the qualifications for a win has to change. Like, innings,
I agree with that.
I think you got to cut it back to five now. I don't know if we can do that anymore.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. But what I was going to say is the pendulum in sports swings all the time. When we saw Kansas City with Tyreek Hill, we were like, this is it. They've outlawed defense. Like, no safety is no corner, no safety, no defensive back can hang with this because the quarterback has all the time in the world. And then this small startup team out of Philadelphia got a great offensive line and a great running back. And now all of a sudden they started mashing people. I think it'll be similar in baseball. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit different just because of the context. But I think if you have a guy coming up who throws, you know, 98, 97, you know, 100 miles an hour. And they're just, I think it's going to get to the point where they just keep them in because the relievers are getting dinged up, you know, not dinged up, but like just taking yard all the time.
But what my thing is, and what I'm taking into account is, yeah, you're going to have that guy, but just physics and the human body, that guy is going to miss a year.
No,
because
you're right.
Tommy John.
Tommy John. Yeah, no, you're absolutely like, right. So that's why
so
I prefaced
much.
It with it is different because of the toll on the arm.
Yeah, as I say, there's just so much. There's just such a huge difference in how it is going to be to evaluate pitchers.
Yeah, especially with pitchers, 100% with pitchers. And let's be honest, it's going to affect everyday players a lot too, because of what you're talking about, where it's going to be home runs or strikeouts. There's not going to be anybody putting grounds and balls in play. There's not going to be the RBIs like we used to see. It's going to be, but I think it might swing back, because I remember when Goldschmidt hit like a double, everyone in the stands was freaking out, because they're like, that does, you know, we don't see that all the time. When I went to the game a couple weeks ago, you know, straight down the line, right through the like the shortstop and the second baseman, right through.
I don't know. I think, I mean, it's been that way for a while now, like home run or nothing.
Yeah.
I think with the new rule changes that were in, it's been like 3 years now, 2 years now, and the torpedo bat, actually, I don't think the torpedo bat is going to like automatically make like your shitty hitter now a home run hitter.
Yeah,
I think that's going to, what that may do is turn singles into doubles into triples for some of those guys. So I would say you're probably going to get some balls in the field, but my thing is just like pitchers are going to get dinged. Like I'm just looking at scores and pitchers getting dinged.
They're like, it's crazy. Nuts.
Like there was a double header. Fucking Red Sox Cardinals. 18-7.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
When I was talking to you about that, I think I brought this up to someone at the game who was like, who likes baseball when I was at the game. I was like, I feel bad for whoever pitched that first game. Because even if you only pitched one inning, if you gave up like six hits, your ERA for the whole season is shot.
Yeah. Your shit is ballooned up.
All right. Ooh, let's get to everyone's favorite.
Is that Dodgers' first loss?
No, they've lost. Oh,
it's the second loss, two to the Phillies then.
Oh yeah, they're 9-2, and then the Giants are 8-1.
Ooh,
come on, man! We got to talk about two. It. Everyone's favorite, so. Everyone's favorite corner. Huge win for Fulham. So here to talk about it is Mr. Joe Dorville, the number one Fulham fan in all of the country. Joe, what do you got for us?
I don't know if all of the country, but I am wearing a Fulham shirt right now.
Wearing the kit,
with the collar and all. Even though I'm not a fan of the collar, but I will say, this jersey has grown on me. I wasn't a fan of it when it first got released because I don't love a collared uniform, but this one's grown on me quite some. So Fulham played against the number one team in the
Prem. In the table.
Number one team in the Prem, who has not lost a road game all season.
Until?
They had not lost a road game all season. Game starts. Alex McAllister scores in the 14th minute. And that ignited something within the lads. Three goals in 14 minutes.
I texted this to you.
Gonna be honest. I hate Sunday games because they're usually a little earlier. I've said this before. So I missed all three of those goals. Got there in the second half. But when I got there in the second half, I was getting there through my sights because my brother apparently didn't pay Peacock recently. So I'm going and the thing says 3-1 and I'm like, that's not the date. Like, what are you talking about 3-1? Like, what's going on here?
Am I watching a rerun?
I was like, no, this is like as I'm clicking on like different links to get to the game.
Okay, yeah.
It's like the score bug for like this website says it's 3-1, not even the actual game yet. And I'm like, that's weird. Why would it say that? And then I click on the game and I'm like, does the score say 3-1? I was like, wait, that's not right. Like, how?
Against the number one happened? Team in the Prem.
Three goals. I've now seen them all. You had a beauty from Ryan Sessegnon, who started at right wing. That was pretty good tactically by Marco Silva. Something that, you know, a lot of people thought curious, something they might do. After they did it a couple times, bringing him in as a substitute, they allowed him to start this game as a right winger. Then Alex Iwobi followed that up, the left winger. And then Rodrigo Muniz capped it off. He was the center forward for this game. Riding that into the second half, up 3-1, everything hunky-dory. Liverpool kind of looks, you know, shell-shocked after all that. And then
Arsenal.
Who?
Arsenal.
It was Liverpool.
Wait, what?
We played Liverpool today. You're gonna tell me.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Liverpool's the number one team. You're getting confused with years past where Arsenal usually is the top team and then they lose it at the end. But yeah, then Liverpool.
Oh, that's why I got messed up. Because okay, yeah, continue. Because Arsenal's number two in the table, and that's why I was all confused.
Liverpool finally gets a second goal in the 72nd minute, and then Fulham pretty much throws everything but the kitchen sink out there, bringing Adama Traore, bringing Raul Jimenez, bringing in Kenny Tete, who we hadn't seen since December. And we go to five at the back, and pretty much everybody's just playing midfield. I would say Raul's playing up, but he's in
the backfield. Yeah, it was a full defensive.
Yeah, it was just holding on for dear life at that point.
The wall.
Point. What are they called?
Yeah, wall them out.
Parking the bus.
That's it.
Liverpool had a couple opportunities. Harvey Elliott, who was a Fulham Academy kid that eventually left us. He was booed every time he touched the ball, but he pinged one off of the crossbar at one point that looked like it had some menace. He had another one, but he didn't put enough on it. Berlino got on top of it. Berlino was pretty spectacular. Some routine saves, but a couple of magnificent saves. And then a couple of just mischaracterized? No. Out of character moments from players like Darwin Nunez and Mo Salah just, you know, whiffing. Mo Salah had one just dead to rights, and he just whiffed and yanked it over the net. And Fulham holds on to get a 3-2 victory over the number one team in the table. Again, a team that hadn't lost a road game all season. They came to the cottage, and they got their shit rocked. All right.
Yeah.
That is now Fulham was able to Fulham has had their best results against has had the best results of any other club against Liverpool. Had a draw, 2-2 draw with them earlier in the year, and then now this 3-2 defeat, 4 points off of the top scalp there was to have in the Premier League this season. This vaults Fulham into, I believe, the 8th position.
Yep.
And if things shake out and the 8th position could end up seeing European play. So, you know, want to move up a little more to give yourself a little more opportunity there. But I think that is the toughest part of our schedule outside of ending with Man U. Because we just played Arsenal, who we lost to the other day. So, yeah, we got Bournemouth on Monday. Jeez. Not this Monday, next Monday. Got Bournemouth, Chelsea. Then we got Southampton, Villa, Everton, Brentford, Man City. Man City, who might just be throwing a bunch of kids out there because their season might be they're not playing for one. They may be playing for positioning at that point, whether it's Champions League versus Europa League. But yeah, Fulham is, you know, I've said it 1,000 times before. Fulham is in a good position, but, you know, eventually you got to go out there, you got to win the games. They haven't always done that. They've done it this year more than some other years past. But, yeah, I'm excited.
Why does it say fixtures?
Because they call matches fixtures.
Okay, yeah, because I was, like, looking for the full schedule to see what they still had remaining, and I was like, where the fuck is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Let's do it. Press conference.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
They're so weird. They're so weird over there in London. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorwell. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram at King Press. Don't forget to check us out on Blue Sky as well. Joe Dorwell and King Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does a Pod. We are doing A Complete Unknown this week. It's on Hulu. Check it out. Check out the episode. It's sure to be fun. And then don't forget to check out Anulo, the big pod. Very fun, very silly, very wacky, very long. You know, we tend to go for a minimum hour and a half. Actually, I think we only hit 1:20 this past episode. But it's a good show. It's a good, fun show. You know, you're hanging out with friends. Don't forget to check out headphonejoe.etsy.com to check out the merch. Don't forget to check out Headphone Joe on all your digital streaming platforms. That is Headphone, in the phone, Joe. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Get tickets to the Bro Jason Tour. We will be in Boston, Connecticut, Charlotte coming up this month. And then in May, a big run in Florida, Gainesville, Jacksonville, and then Palm Coast. Shout out FPC, going to Palm Coast for a couple nights.
That's crazy.
And check out my other podcast, Your Ex Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Parker Tighe talks about growing up in Las Vegas from a kid to like in his 20s, growing up in Vegas. Pretty crazy. Also, he was a tour guide in the Grand Canyon and saw a lot of people commit suicide, which was a very enlightening thing. Yeah. Apparently, he said it happened. He said, oh, maybe he has a bit about it. Maybe he didn't talk about that a lot on the pod. But he does say it happens. Yeah, the bus accident. Yeah, so check it out. Your Ex Drinking Buddy. Yep, that's it. We're done.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Oh, and that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Just finished season one of Andor. Good show.
I've really sworn you've gotten to that. Huge shout out Paige Beckers, AZ Fun, Sarah Strong. Y'all killed it.